Look around. Every car you see is probably on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars. As for flying cars, well, we're ready when they are. If you see a car you like, find it on AutoTrader. That's our kind of thing. AutoTrader.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Summer routines live or die by how easy they are. And honestly, if something takes too much effort, I'm out. That's why Grunes is my go-to. It's one daily pack of gummies covering my greens, vitamins, and minerals. Plus, it has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, which is more than 2 cups of broccoli. No mixing powders, no giant pills, no hassle. Just rip open the pack and I'm done. They taste good and it makes it easy to stay on top of my health, even when life gets busy. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grunes.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
This reminds me of yesterday when you were talking about Vegas and how somebody accused them of not treating their players well enough or their employees well enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like, and I was trying to sort of mess with the whole take and talk about how they were not allowed to eat bread and all of that, just trying to find a, you know, a seat at that table, so to speak.
Can't wait to, wait to see why we started here.
And you're like, listen, can somebody tell me? Because I would like to know if there's more to this that I'm not aware of. You said that a few times, trying to cover yourself. Like,
yeah, yeah.
What do I not know about this Vegas thing?
Right.
So why is it the least bit secretive for the Knicks not to reveal when a guy broke his finger? Is there any... Can somebody tell me? I feel like, who is... What bit am I doing? It's stand up and win. Can somebody tell me? Because I'd like to know. What is the practical reason why the Knicks don't want you to know when a player broke his finger? Like, what would happen? Did somebody on the team go up to him with a ball-peen hammer and just smash his finger?
What, was it a basketball-related activity or not?
Why does it matter?
They're trying to protect the player from being criticized for...
What did he do?
Cleaning his barbecue and, breaking his finger. I don't know. Having one of his kids slam it in a car door. I mean, I don't know.
Maybe.
But maybe there's some. They think it'll be worse for this guy if it comes out that, you know, he was trying to get a spider out of his eye in the middle of the night and he broke his finger. Which I don't. that seems unlikely. But you know, there's just some embarrassing pratfall. You know, because, you know, we're all Scottie Scheffler last year. Oh, he hurt his he cut himself making pasta. Like, or he fell down with a wine glass and the stem went through his hand. Whatever, but fine. I'll buy your pasta story, whatever. So, like, we live in a skeptical world.
World.
Okay, that's another word for it. Sure. I could see the Knicks wanting to protect him if indeed there's something untoward that happened.
We're only skeptical about these things because sports lies to us all the
constantly,
time.
Constantly, yes.
Like they with never regularity, tell the truth on injuries.
Like, as like a business plan, they lie to us.
They never tell the truth on injuries, so what are you supposed to do with it?
Right.
You're supposed to be skeptical.
Sure.
They could tell us what happened, and I still wouldn't believe it. That's Scheffler.
That's right.
I still go ahead and have a special press conference just to disclose what happened to this guy's hand. Okay, I don't believe you. Next. I'm sick of you lying to me about injuries.
Right.
I mean, do you think Alex Tuck was really hurt? I'm not trying to get us into him again, but like, I thought it was an interesting point to make a few times after the season ended with the Sabres that, remember, as non-forthcoming as they are as a rule anyway, especially in the playoffs, now when it's over, they have no obligation to tell you anything. And I could see a player looking at that either way.
Yeah, Tuck was always a tricky one to me. He's going into, you know, what should be the payday of his lifetime. And, you know, regardless of what he would have said about an injury, I think that still would have been the case. But nonetheless, on one hand, like I was saying all through the playoffs, and I even said it afterward, like I hope I hear that he's hurt because I'm struggling with why you were such a ghost in the Montreal series. But the other side to that that could be problematic to him is to say I had a back injury a month before you're about to hit the free agent market. Like right. you probably don't want to advertise that. So, you know, lesser of two evils. Again, I don't know. I think there's a case to be made on either side that he would have either wanted to sort of validate his underperforming by explaining it away with an injury, and that might make teams go, okay, well that's fine because he'll be healed, and I'll give him $12 million. Or they could go, what's the injury? Is there a problem? Could it potentially linger? Is it going to reoccur? Whatever, and that could hurt him. So just
that wins the day.
Yeah, I think so. I think
you'd rather not create suspicion about your body than basically explain why you didn't do well.
And you're also, you know, looking like you're making an excuse too. Yeah. And so those two things probably outweigh the, like, you know, make radios the Bulldog feel better about my performance against Montreal. I think the long range outlook is I was fine. And I'm not here to tell you like I had something bothering me. I just didn't play, you know, that the goals didn't come.
Well, you know what I don't know is when he does sign with whomever, when is the physical? Like, if he's got something, there are, it's a pretty wide range of injuries. Like, if he had a broken pinky, like this Knicks guy,
yeah,
and, you know, he goes to the press conference, he's probably pretty safe in disclosing that, because that's going to get better.
Right.
And by the time next season starts,
right,
and somebody wants to invest in him, they're not worried about whether his finger is a chronic injury.
Right.
Like, he's just, you know, okay, that'll heal. A back injury is maybe about as scary as it could get.
Right.
And, you know,
yep.
What was Eric Lindros? Was it head, but back, maybe?
He had back problems, too.
A back injury can ruin your career, can end it.
Yep.
And so, you know, if he doesn't want to, I'm not trying to say that that's what happened, but if he doesn't want to, if it is, and he doesn't want to talk about it, eventually he's going to have to pass a physical and then.
Right.
You know, if you really want to litigate this without knowing the truth, it would be a reason to not sign him because it could scare you a little bit. Wow, didn't he have to be hurt? And then he talked and said he wasn't. And there are reasons why he wouldn't have, even if he was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, well, to strike against?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm admitting it. I'm going pretty hard at that, but it does seem like it could make.
Look around. What do you see? Cars, lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on Auto Trader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar powered, eco friendly, vegan leather wrapped, aromatherapy scented, disco ball equipped, self driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on Auto Trader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars, and used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, Auto Trader.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
The days are longer, the calendar's filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grooms. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber. So I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing. They're easy to toss in my bag on the go. Plus, they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA, FSA eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grooms.co. That's code PODCAST at G-R-U-N-S. S.co.
Makes sense. Well, I don't know. This is the kind of thing, I think I've mellowed, but this is the kind of thing, especially when it's like the Knicks and I couldn't care less, when it's far away, that just made me hate certain aspects of covering sports. Like, it doesn't even make sense. This is, you know, Lossman and Vincent, Troy Vincent.
Right, yeah. Like, what really happened there?
Why wouldn't you just be honest? And not only were they not honest, they held it against you for claiming that they should have, that they weren't being honest.
Right.
And
that people who saw what happened and even knew what was going on behind the scenes were willing to tell you, like, there were veterans on the team that thought the guy was acting like a gym class hero and embarrassing them in no tackle drills, and so someone hammered him.
I've maybe never gotten over that.
That's pretty much what happened, and Tom Donahoe never stopped pushing back against that.
And his men made you feel terrible.
Yeah.
Made you feel, you know, tried to shame you.
Right.
For wanting to find out what really happened when you had Vincent himself admit it.
Right. Yeah.
Not explicitly, but it was just like there was no question that there was some intent to try to, and then it was an accident. Does that count as an accident? It was a misdemeanor. It was a football misdemeanor.
Sure. Yeah. You wanted to send a message, you ended up hurting the guy. And like you didn't want to hurt him, but you wanted to smack him.
I've never really gotten over that with them. And it's all different people now, and just like this Knicks thing, I'd want to quit the beat. It's the finals.
Right.
And I just want to, like, you really can't say that? It's hockey, you don't know what the injury is, and you have to accept some level of, if it gets out, then our player and therefore our team are at disadvantages. Because, you know, theoretically, if Thompson had a back thing, right? He said?
Yep.
But we thought maybe he had a wrist injury. And if, I mean, maybe, probably on the inside, there's a lot more known, a lot more shared knowledge than we have access to. But if it's possible that Montreal players found out that he had a wrist injury, they could take that out on him.
For sure.
And maybe that would have happened, which gives you some defense if you're the team for just not being forthcoming about the injury. I mean, not to do the whole thing over again, but Thompson said it's none of your business, and he's wrong. Unfortunately for him, sports doesn't exist without the fans. People bet on games. It is our business, whether he likes it or not. And if he had just said, nothing's wrong with me, that would have been, people would have accepted that, if not believed it.
Yeah, they still would have been maybe skeptical about it, but reacting the way he did only amped up the idea that something's hindering him.
We talked to Paul about it, and Paul goes into his whole thing about how, I don't mind. I don't care whether Paul minds. I just want it to be pointed out that it is people's business, and whatever he's doing or not doing to his risk factor as a player, I mean, he sounds naive to think that. Like, he's terribly naive to think that it isn't the business of the media and the fans. Hockey they get away with so much anyway because – apparently, you don't have to disclose injuries in the playoffs. You never have to even disclose specifically what an injury is. We go the whole year with upper body.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just sort of accept the compromise here, Tage. And just it's kind of okay for you if you don't have to ever say the thing. But you can't be annoyed if somebody asks you and claim that it's none of their business. Of course it is. Anyway,
yeah,
just because of the Knicks, the pinky finger got me into all this.
He did sweating. I think, you know, whatever. I don't need to say. He explained himself. Like, I think afterward, like, you know, he was upset. He played terribly. He really made boy, a fool of himself is too strong, but like it was like pratfalls in that game.
it was game two.
It was really bad. Yeah. So, you know, I understand him being hot in that moment anyway, too, but whatever. It's irrelevant to the point. The point is still
for now
the same.
Sam Panayotovich today, that'll be in 20 minutes or so, told me he wants to go to the Bills-Vikings game Monday night, week 9, November 9th.
Okay.
I told him, just sort of, I don't know why I even said this, I might go to that.
Sure you will. Sounds great.
He's like, road trip? I haven't been to a Bills road game since I was in college. Well, almost, but, you know, not professionally. We never go to the road games.
No,
now we're not even, like, with them in the same way as before, so.
Right, it's less likely now, I would think.
I guess.
show up with them and do our show from whatever, a stadium.
How do I put this? Doesn't really, it's not that serious. Just like, the schedule, I doubt that you've memorized it yet.
I definitely have not, no.
But what are your thoughts about it? The fact, the little trivia point about that they play all five NFC opponents at night is interesting, and that's three road games, Vikings, like we talked about there, Rams and Packers as well, Detroit and Chicago at home, Detroit the home opener. It'll be fun. I mean, a lot of these, that's a good division. That's maybe the best division in the league, right? The NFC North? Might you say that?
Yeah. I mean, they definitely don't have a supposed bad team unless you think Minnesota is going to just spin their wheels.
NFC North versus NFC West.
See, that's Minnesota is not Arizona, I don't think. I feel like Arizona is in the mud right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is Brissett want a new contract now?
Yes.
By the way, like that's happening. Okay. I mean, imagine caring about the Cardinals the way we care about the Bills for just a moment, and living in a world where Jacoby Brissett is your incoming starter. It reminds me of the time Dwayne Rollison was mad about what he was being paid. Like, dude.
We can lose with you. We can lose without you.
What are we doing here? Anyway, so they really weigh down the other three teams in that division to me. In any given year, are all capable of winning the Super Bowl. Seattle just did. The Rams did pretty recently. The Niners have been there pretty recently. So to me, those teams are all still in windows where they could win it, and the Cardinals are not. And I think the NFC North is the same, but the Vikings are just a little, they're more like a 500-ish looking team to me than a team that could be among the worst in the league, which is what I guess I'm thinking about Arizona.
Yeah, me too. And I think the three teams above Minnesota are close enough to the three teams atop the NFC West.
Right. Even though the Lions are off a down year, whatever. But yeah, I mean, I still think they'll be, you know, they're a serious football team.
The Chiefs game on Thanksgiving night, every year, that game with Kansas City is maybe the game of the year in the NFL on paper. And then a couple of times, well, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's lived up to that a time or two. Certainly in the playoffs it has a couple of times. Is that the game of the year on the Bills schedule? Does it have to be? New England twice at Denver, a playoff rematch. Chargers here, Houston in week one.
It has to be the Chiefs.
Ravens again?
It has to be the Chiefs.
It does?
Yeah, I think so. Baltimore's maybe close, and New England, you know, deserves a seat at the table, but I think it's still the Chiefs. Even though, you know, off the down year with the Mahomes injury, I still feel like it's one of the games of the year in the league. And if I feel that way, then, like, it's the best game on the Bills schedule. It's the biggest game on the Bills schedule, I think.
That's a different thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But I don't have another game that I would say it's a game of the year on the Bills. I don't think even Baltimore has quite the, I don't know. And plus, it's Thanksgiving night. I don't know. Like, I just that's a pretty juicy spot, and it's those two quarterbacks and those two teams. To me, that it is. I don't want to say easily, but comfortably, is that the same thing? Their best game.
from a standpoint of like marquee value.
Right. Yeah. Interest,
if not more.
Casual interest, football, hardcore interest. Like, it's the Chiefs and the Bills. It's can't miss.
It's like the Patriots and the Colts.
Yes.
20 years ago.
That's right.
I think so. The fact that it is on a Thanksgiving night, you know, in that slot helps it. What doesn't help it is that Kansas City went 6-11.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are not division winners from last year. Maybe they're both favored to be again. I know the Bills are. I would guess the Chiefs are, but I'm not sure. Because Chargers are good. Denver's good. I think it's a conversation, at least. I think that rivalry has transcended. And the holiday point, like I just said, you said it too. All of that, it makes it a game you certainly circle. But I listed them. There are still at least a half a dozen other games that might end up being just as big. It's tough to say, to parse this a little bit too fine, it's tough to say the NFC games are bigger because they're the NFC.
Right. Denver is the next, or one of the New England games. But like Denver, you've got, you know, the Bills lost there in the divisional round. They won the division, Denver did. They were the one seed, right? Or
yes.
Yeah, right. And with that game being on Christmas, if both teams have comparable years to last year, if they both are in line to hit their overs, let's say, that could be a game for playoff seed. It could be a game for the number one seed. It could be for two or three, whatever. It could really matter. And it's, you know, a month later than that Kansas City game. So the standings will be, you know, it's week 16. The standings will be more, you know, it'll be more obvious what's at stake than when they play Kansas City, I think I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives it a look at it, I think.
Well, New England is two times, of course, week 4 and then week 13. Neither is a night game. This is where you have to start, I think, for the Bills' chances. Forget holidays and rivalries and stuff. Not that there isn't a rivalry with the Patriots, but that's, I think, where you have to start is, you know, we've been spending the last 3 or 4 summers talking about the importance of getting the top seed in the conference. And then last year, what, were they the 5? Like the Patriots won the division, and you, of course, do not get a home game in the first round. You're not likely to get a home game at all if you don't do that. So that's where you have to start. And again, like going pretty hard at this, maybe too hard, that game with New England that was in Buffalo last year was maybe week 5, the Sunday night that the Bills lost.
Diggs went off, yeah.
Yes, and were they not 4-0 going into that game and they lost to New England?
That sounds right. You want me to check? I can check pretty quickly, but I think that is right.
Upon the result of that game, it was a race. Like, it was on with New England, and we knew how easy their schedule was.
That's absolutely right. 4-0, they lost, and then they lost the next week in Atlanta, too.
Yes, and that ended up being the horse race. Like,
yeah.
The Bills never caught up, even with beating them in November or December.
December, yeah.
The Patriots couldn't lose.
Right.
And you never got there. So none of this is to say, like, what will happen with the Patriots. I mean,
yep.
In my mind, almost definitely they take a step back. But you have to start there.
Yep.
For,
you know,
what's the path to the Super Bowl?
With that in mind, you know, we never really did. It's just funny that we're starting with the schedule because you're right. I haven't memorized it. I haven't even done what I've been doing for 20 minutes or 15 minutes whenever we started, which is just sort of looking at it, scrolling through it, mentioning this game or that game. We haven't done any of that in here. And, you know, I like sports, but I don't just stare at the Bills schedule when I'm at home on my couch.
Well, that's how we're different.
But looking at how the games fall, that second New England game being as early as it is, I might have preferred swapping that game with the second Miami game. Like, give me New England in week 17, and, you know, I've got a stake here. It hurts the second New England game that it's in week 13 to me, right after Kansas City. Sort of like how I mentioned with Denver. Like, Denver is close enough to the end. You know, maybe you have a better idea what the stakes are. What am I playing for? I'm playing New England in week 13, and I've got, you know, five more games after that. I don't like that. I wish it was later. I wish it were more near the end.
If you really want to sink your teeth into this, that's week 13, and they'll have both had their bye. So say the Bills after that game have split with the Patriots, and they're both 8-4. So you're tied with a split and five games to go. The Patriot, you both have it tough. Bills go at Green Bay, Bears at Denver, Miami and the Jets. The Patriots...
Miami's on the road too, by the way.
At Miami and the Jets, right. The Patriots have home to the Vikings the Thursday night after the Bills game on this late Sunday. At Kansas City, at the Jets, Denver, and Miami. So their final three opponents are the same, just not in the same order.
Mm-hmm.
Denver, Miami, Jets, Jets, Denver, Miami. And, you know, Minnesota and Kansas City are on the Bills schedule as well, just earlier. Well, I'm getting excited for more schedule talk that I may force upon you in and out today.
No forcing necessary.
Okay, good.
I'm liking looking at it.
Is the there it is?
I just haven't. The Sabres dominated my life. I did. The schedule good. Okay.
The Sabres won May.
That was the schedule
from the Bills.
Like they, there it is. Okay, thanks.
The Bills lost May.
Hockey game.
Now they're in the lead for June. Well, we'll see actually about that. Sam Panayotovic coming up, and Sal Capaccio today as well. Thanks for joining us on this Friday. Beautiful day. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog WGR.
Look around. Every car you see is probably on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars. As for flying cars, well, we're ready when they are. If you see a car you like, find it on AutoTrader. That's our kind of thing. AutoTrader.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Messi fans, Lowe's Messi Halftime event hits July 19th. That's coming up fast, so now's a really good time to become a My Lowe's Rewards or a My Lowe's Pro Rewards member. Join for free and get access to exclusive Messi moments and epic surprises. Let's just say halftime's looking different this year. Make sure to follow Lowe's on TikTok and tune in to the Lowe's Messi Halftime event on July 19th. Members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Did you know that there are over 200 legends like Andrew Jones, Albert Pujols, Felix Hernandez, and Ken Griffey Jr. in MLB The Show 26? Collect them all and current all-stars to build your perfect lineup. MLB The Show 26 is available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. Rated E for everyone. Officially licensed by MLB Players, Inc.